Our passage this morning is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. It's Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Paul says, writes, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. And likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." It's the reading of God's word this morning. You may be seated. If you recall, it's been a while, so you may not, so we'll help you with that this morning. If you recall, the Apostle Paul began his letter to the church in Philippi by giving thanks to God for all of them, all the saints there with the overseers and the deacons, for all the members along with the officers together who comprise what God defines in Scripture as a local church here on earth. This is what the Holy Spirit established when he led Paul out into Asia and over into Macedonia to plant churches. He planted churches like these, saints, overseers, deacons, for their strengthening of their souls and their encouragement to continue in the faith. And moreover, Paul prays, if you recall, for each of them individually, as well as together as a local church, that their love would abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that they may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. That Paul prayed that in chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. In essence, praying for all of them that what the apostle himself believed to be a life worthy of the gospel of Christ, wherein each member of the church, as the church, stood firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not frightened in anything by their opponents. Doing nothing from selfish ambition and conceit, but in humility, counting others more significant than themselves, each looking out not only for their own interests, but also for the interests of others. Each with the same self-emptying, self-humbling, serving, and obedient mindset of Christ, who both modeled and graciously gave them, God gave them in Christ this mindset for the glory, for his own glory. Paul says, this mind is yours in Christ. A manner of life and a mindset which God graciously began in each of them when he opened their hearts to pay attention to what Paul was preaching on the first day that Paul preached the gospel in Philippi. And every other day thereafter, through those who believed it and remained in Philippi, as they lived their lives in a manner worthy of the gospel. From the first day, Paul says, until now, when he writes, a regenerative work of God creating in them a new life in Christ Jesus, causing them to be born again through the power of the Holy Spirit, working in them the truth of the gospel, and continuing to work in them the truth of the gospel, both to will and to work according to God's good pleasure, for their salvation and the salvation of others through them. A good work which God began in them and would bring to completion on the day of Jesus Christ, to the praise and the glory of God the Father. It's in this way that the saints at Philippi, like Paul and with Paul, had, by the grace of God, become partakers of God's grace. Grace to believe in Jesus Christ and grace to suffer for his sake, to suffer for the defense and confirmation of the gospel as Paul did, to suffer the effects of sin on the world in themselves and among themselves as and others who by God's grace would likewise come to believe in Christ through them as they engaged in the same conflicts that they saw Paul had at the first. Remember, he was falsely accused, unlawfully beaten and imprisoned. And again, some 10 years later, had that they now hear about. As he writes to them, rejoicing at the progress of the gospel and the progress of God's people in the gospel, as he sits in prison again. Falsely accused for the gospel. And all of this, the Apostle Paul sets before the church in Philippi as the grounds or the reason for what he now concludes in verses 12 through 18 of our passage this morning. All of that is why he says this. Having thanked God for their partnership in the gospel in chapter 1, verse 3, praise God for both the beginning of this good work in them as well as its completion at the day of Christ Jesus in chapter 1, verse 6, declaring to them that both their faith in Christ as well as their suffering in Christ has been sovereignly granted to them by God in chapter 1, verse 29. That by such gifts God has and continues to mercifully encourage them in Christ, comfort them with his love, grant them to share in his Spirit, and to know his affection and sympathy for them in chapter 2, verse 1. And that the same self-emptying, self-humbling, serving, obedient mind of Christ has also been granted to them by God in Christ Jesus in verse 2, 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. Having reminded them of all of this, all of which they had freely received from God merely of grace and only for the sake of Christ's merits, Paul turns and begins chapter 2, verse 12, with therefore, because of all of this, therefore, signaling that all of these things that he has just reminded them of, all of which God had and continues to work in them and will complete in them at the day of Jesus Christ, all of these things serve as the grounds or the reason for what he is about to write to them now. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And if sensing the need to be extremely clear at this very point, the point of his exhortation, his command, Paul immediately turns and sums and repeats the ground or the reason in verse 13 of chapter 2. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work according or for his good pleasure. Creating, if you will, an exhortation sandwich in between two slices of grounds and reason statements. Since God has worked in you all, is now working in you all, and will himself bring to completion this good work for you all and for others through you at the day of Jesus Christ, merely of grace and only for the sake of Christ's merits, therefore you, as always, continue to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you all, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see, Paul has gone out of his way to be extremely clear here. Christianity is not something you begin by faith and then finish by works. He tells us as much in Galatians. In other places, Rome, everywhere, here. His exhortation is in no way, shape, or form an exhortation for the saints in Philippi to save themselves by continuing to do good works, nor to be ever fearful and trembling as to whether or not their choice was sincere enough and will remain sincere enough all their lives. Nor that their works are sufficient enough to merit the favor of Almighty, eternal, holy God. Rather, what we see very clearly, both by what Paul writes as well as how he writes, is that it is their own salvation by the gracious working of God through Jesus Christ that he exhorts them to continue to work out with awe and reverence, fear and trembling before Almighty God. The one who graciously began this good work in them is presently working in them and will complete for them and for many others through them at the day of Christ. As they work out their own salvation with awe and reverence before God, bringing the work of God through Christ in them and through them to light in their own lives right here and right now. This is what Paul prays for them in Jesus Christ at the beginning of his letter, that their love, which they have because of God's mercy and great love for them, because of their love with which they have because God first loved them, may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that they may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness and that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God alone. And it's the same thing that he commands them here in our passage, because of who they already are in Christ, because of what God has already done in their lives. That's why he says, therefore, because of all that stuff that God has done, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, to will and to work according to his good pleasure. And they are to do all things without grumbling and disputing, that they may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom they shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, the gospel, so that in the day of Christ, Paul may be proud that he did not run in vain or labor in vain. They're the same things that Paul is praying because of what God has done, because of what God is doing, and because of what God has promised yet to do in the day of Christ. That's why the therefore is therefore. Because of what God has done, Paul exhorts them to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, to be who they already are in Christ because of what God has done. For there is no need for them to attempt to manipulate God into giving them anything more. There's nothing more that could possibly be added to them. They are alive in Christ. And they will be made, completed, alive in Christ at His return. Never to die again. There's no need for selfish ambition, competition between them. There's no need for conceit. There's no need to be self-consumed and inconsiderate of others, to lift themselves and raise themselves up. You can't be raised further than Christ. He already sits at the right hand of God in heaven. You can't be lifted up any higher. If God has made them alive in Christ, their salvation is done. All that is left for them to do is to work out that salvation with awe and reverence, to the praise and the glory of God. This truth we find on every single page of Holy Scripture. It's only the blindness of sin that keeps us from seeing it. It's there on every single page, that who God is and what God has done, is doing, and has promised yet to do precedes absolutely everything that God commands. It supersedes everything that God brings to pass. It's the very good for which God is at work in all things, you see. His own purpose. The salvation of those whom He loved and made alive in Christ and called according to this very purpose. Granting to them the grace that they should not only know Christ, but love Him and also suffer for His sake, to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation in the world, for the progress of the gospel and the progress of God's people in the gospel. This is the good work which God began, or has begun in us as well. It's the same good work. Paul, the Philippians, us. It's the same good work. Always has been. It's the same good work that God began with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. This good work is the same in us as in them. And God will bring it to completion for us all and for countless others through us at the day of Jesus Christ. It is this work that God, this work of God, that we are to work out in our own salvation with awe and reverence before Him. The working out of our own salvation, for which God is at work in us to will and to work for His good pleasure, which is our salvation and the salvation of others through us at the day of Jesus Christ. So we do this not to become Christians. We do this not to retain our Christianity. We do this because we are Christians. Because even when we were dead in our trespasses, God, by His mercy, the riches of His mercy, Paul says, and the greatness of His love for us, made us alive with Christ. That's why we do this. And if we're not doing it for that reason, we need to be reminded, as Paul reminds the Philippians, of all these things. All these things. Because this is the word of life. This is the gospel to which we are to hold fast, by which we are to put off the old self, which belongs to our former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so live our lives here and now in a manner worthy of the gospel. As blameless and innocent children of God that we are, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom we shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, working out our own salvation in fear and trembling. A salvation which God has already given us in Christ, will bring to completion at Christ's return for us and for many others through us, as we hold fast to the word of life and live our lives to the praise and the glory of God. That's why we have been made lights in the world, and salt in the earth. Not for our glory, but for the glory of God. A work for which we may be rightly proud. A work for which we may rightly hope not to have run in vain. A work by which we may be glad and rejoice with the confidence that in the knowledge that it is and has always been the work of God in us. And it will always be. Willing and working according to His good pleasure. Which, if you can believe it, just happens to be our salvation. Our salvation, the salvation of many others through us. To His praise and His glory. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, Lord, it is the blindness of our pride, the blindness of sin that comes upon us that causes us to reject your goodness, your mercy, your holiness, your righteousness, your love. Father, sin is so blinding and so terrible. Truly, the wages of sin are death. It is only death that could keep us from seeing all of these things about you and all that you are doing in and around us, always, continually work in our lives. Only death could blind us of these things. And so, Father, we praise you for this miracle of giving us life in Christ, for saving us of our sins, for giving us everlasting righteousness and eternal life. Father, here and now, and to be completed fully at the return of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you. And Father, we pray that you would more and more abound, make our love abound, as Paul prays, in knowledge of this gospel, in all discernment, that we might truly choose what is excellent. We might truly choose not only to know Christ, but to willingly suffer for him, and to be glad and rejoice in it. And Father, we thank you for our participation, for allowing us to participate in this wonderful and marvelous work that you are doing. And Father, we long to rejoice with Christ, with all who have believed in his name at his return. Bless us here and now to live as you command us. Bless us to turn to your gospel, work out our salvation, fear and trembling. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.